I like sports. I could do something in sports.
Uh-huh. In what capacity?
Maybe I could be like an announcer, like a color man. You know how I always make those interesting comments during the game?
Yeah, you make good comments.
So what about that?
Well, you know, they tend to give those jobs to ex-players and people that are, you know, in broadcasting.
Living George Costanza's dream, you're tuned into The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
Well, that's really not fair.
I know.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
Sun is going down, time is running down, no one else around but me. Steady losing my mind, moving shadows and grinding teeth. Without you, there ain't no place for me to hide.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to season 13 of The Hockey Show.
Lucky number 13, let's go.
Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey live here on 101.5 UMFM. Glad to have everybody with us tonight as we get set for show number one of season 13. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. And yourself?
I'm not bad. I'm just going to fix my headphones here. Sounds like there's nothing coming out of one ear, but whatever. That's fine. We're good. I can hear you. That's all the important part is. For those that are just tuning in, I am Teebs, and I'm with Jason, and we are getting set for some hockey show action. We got a few announcements before we get on there. The song you're hearing, I'll turn it back up a little bit. So this song has been teased for the last couple of weeks on social media by the artist Teddy Swims.
Okay.
It's been stuck in my head, and I've been trying to find a copy of it somewhere, and finally able to locate a copy of it and able to get something going for it. So this new song comes out tomorrow. This new single comes out tomorrow. As I fade them out a little bit more. It's called Bad Dreams. It was written and performed by Teddy Swims. It's his new single, and it's getting rave reviews on his current tour where he breaks it out for fans. It's legitimately something that nobody's ever heard, and he kind of just, hey, I got something new for you, and goes into it.
That's awesome.
Again, a little more of it. Good tune. Nothing wrong with what he's written here. Thoughts on it, Jay? You're okay with Teddy Swims there?
Yeah, it's got a good vibe to it. I think it's going to, like, it definitely would be a pretty, like, catchy song. Like, this is the kind of song that would, like, show up in a movie just go crazy.
Yeah, I expect to see this in about a dozen movies by, like, Christmas. Like, there'll be, like, the next, like, 8 or 10 movies that come out. They'll all have a copy, a version of this.
Exactly, and, like, the trailers, like, some scene. Yeah. All the romance movies that are coming out from here until the end of time.
Yeah, totally. I don't disagree with you at all on that. So, anyway, some Teddy Swims there to get it. We'll have a little bit more at the end. Obviously, you can hear him a little bit more at the end when we get off the air here. But Teddy Swims with his new song, Bad Dreams, comes out tomorrow. Single comes out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's from an unannounced album so far. He has not announced when the new album's coming out, but he said that he's got a few songs ready, and he's been playing that one. So, not a bad little tune in terms of getting us set. Getting us into a little bit more stuff here. Obviously, we got a bunch of hockey stuff to go over, but before we get into that, we lost a pretty big icon on Monday. Mm-hmm. Hollywood legend James Earl Jones passed away at the age of 93. Mm-hmm. I bring that up because, I mean, I don't know. I made a case on Hockey Blog in Canada about, you know, there are a number of actors and actresses that you can bring up. Actors alone, in terms of, you know, guys from my era, guys that I, you know, I've grown up and watched for a long time. Sean Connery, Harrison Ford, Robin Williams, Ed Willis, or Ed Harris, excuse me, Bruce Willis, Morgan Freeman. Like, those are the guys that you go, like anytime they're in a movie, mm-hmm. like they're bigger than the scene. Like you notice them as soon as they're on the screen.
Also, just a link to James Earl Jones. A lot of iconic voices in that group.
Oh, and take nothing away from it. Yeah, like that's another mm-hmm. thing. Like that's again his list of works where he had significant impact on yeah. me anyway. Where I've seen him and gone like unmistakable mm-hmm. James Earl Jones. Obviously, Darth Vader. I mean, Star Wars Darth Vader.
He paid, I think, $7,000 for that role.
And legitimately didn't know if he wanted to do it. So, yeah. I mean, good for him for choosing it.
He just did this voice acting gig for $7,000, and it changed his life.
Mufasa in The Lion King, which, mm-hmm. I mean, everybody kind of went, oh my God, like he made that sound, like he made Mufasa mm-hmm. sound like the King of the Jungle. Like, yeah, he just went from lion to King of the Jungle yeah. with his sound.
And so iconic that they had to bring him back for the new animated
right, yeah.
Lion King. I don't want to say live action, because it wasn't live action, but bringing him, because there's nobody that can
right,
capture
that
the
that.
Gravitas yeah. of Mufasa the way he does.
He'll always be the CNN voice to me.
That's something that I didn't know until recently.
Always. He'll always be that voice to me. This is CNN. He was excellent for the brief appearances he made as Admiral Greer in Patriot Games, The Hunt for Red October, and Clear mm-hmm. and Present Danger. Mm-hmm. Didn't have lots on there, but when he was on screen, you noticed mm-hmm. him. Like, you knew that voice as soon as you heard it. His lessons for the boys in The Sandlot as Mr. Myrtle.
You kind of go,
yeah, man, like, I forgot he was in that.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that, again, that ranks high, the one that I think everybody associates him with, obviously, over the summer at least, anyway, is Terrence Mann. Terrence Mann from Field of Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if there's anybody else out there that could, you know, come up with his sound, his gravitas, as mm-hmm. you said, his treatment of the of a guy who was in the novel originally supposed to be J.D. Salinger.
Okay.
So they replaced Terrence Mann mm-hmm. in the movie because they couldn't get rights for J.D. Salinger's name to be in the movie. Yep. So he became Terrence Mann and no big deal. But he was essentially supposed to be playing J.D. Salinger in the movie, which
awesome.
Is kind of awesome.
That's awesome.
But again, the speech at the end, mm-hmm. the speech at the end when everything's going down and they're trying to figure out what they're going to do about the ball field. I mean, I have that clip right here and I'll play a little bit of it. But I don't know if there's a better sports moment mm-hmm. in movies. I mean, again, take nothing away from what's his name, Kurt Russell in Miracle.
Yeah.
When he does the speech. I mean, that you kind of expect mm-hmm. to be a big moment as well. But this moment alone, I think, it's so resonating.
All right. This is fascinating. It is. But the fact remains is that you don't have the money to bring the mortgage up to date, so you're still going to have to sell. I'm sorry, Ray. We got no choice.
Ray, people will come, Ray.
Like, that alone?
They come to Iowa for reasons they can't even fathom. They turn up your driveway, not knowing for sure why they're doing it. They'll arrive at your door, as innocent as children, longing for the past. Of course, we won't mind if you look around, you'll say. It's only $20 per person. They'll pass over the money without even thinking about it. For it is money they have.
Like that.
And peace they like.
That whole scene. Again, mm-hmm. I'm going to fade it out there. I mean, you can go and see. It's like a 4-minute speech. And we're not going to go through the whole thing.
All over YouTube.
But I mean, like that speech where he just starts in on that soliloquy about how America's been built up and torn down. And the only constant that's been there throughout time is baseball.
Mm-hmm.
If that's not an ode to how great. And I don't want to just put baseball on that, but how great sport is in terms of our culture.
Yeah.
I don't know what is.
Yeah. And like, you know, his voice is going to be missed, but it's also going to be remembered, right? Forever have the clips. We have all of the nature documentaries that he narrated.
So good.
The film roles, the television roles, just all of, you know, his memory. It's not going to go anywhere, you know it. And but it's this indelible mark that he has, like this piece of him that is now forever tied into our culture.
I mean, I was laughing at this because 1989, mm-hmm. like movie came out in 1989. Right?
Yeah.
Listen to this to the cast of characters that are on this, cast of actors that are on this: Kevin Costner,
mm-hmm.
James Earl Jones, Ray Liotta, who played Julie Joe Jackson, Burt Lancaster, Amy Madigan, Gabby Hoffman, Art LaFleur.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are guys that you kind of go, okay, like, they're pretty good. Frank Whaley, who played the role of Archie Graham, he's gone on to some decent stuff. Timothy Busfield, who played Mark in that scene, in terms of like, a fantastic. And then, obviously, I mean, again, you can't go anything wrong with Dwyer Brown as Ray Kinsella was fantastic. But this movie, in 1990, was up for Best Picture. Do you know who it was against? Take a shot. Take a crazy shot, and GM Jared's staring at us through the window right now, and he's going to be impressed with this.
You know, I have no idea. 1990
was up for Best Picture. Listen to this gauntlet of so My Left Foot.
Okay.
Not bad. Born on the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
Dead Poets Society and Driving Miss Daisy.
Oh, jeez. That's a lineup.
That legitimately, any one of those movies could win a Best Picture Oscar in any other year, and these five movies were against each other.
Yeah.
In 1990.
That run in like the 80s and 90s where it was just like constantly like stacked lineups every Oscars.
So anyway, so I mean, it's nice to see, you know, James Earl Jones getting honored by a bunch of different, I mean, we did it here obviously because I mean, he's an icon and certainly somebody that we grew up with and know just from his voice. Like, you don't even have to see him. You just hear his voice. You're like, James Earl Jones, that's him.
And it's like, everyone knows Darth Vader. Forever, he's going to be remembered as Darth Vader. He's going to be a part of culture. He's going to be a part of entertainment history.
Yeah.
Field of Dreams has taken on this like second life now.
Right.
And because they had like the Field of Dreams game, right?
They still do. Yeah. Major League Baseball still does that. Yeah.
Where like forever, like that is just tied into culture now.
If you're wondering, Dyersville, Iowa is where that field is located. Mm-hmm. Dyersville, Iowa. If you're looking for a summer trip next year, folks, Dyersville, Iowa, they will allow you to go out and see the field. It is still there. So
still taken care of. And
yeah, everybody's looking after it, the whole thing. So kind of cool to see that in terms of what's going on. So want to send our best wishes, obviously, out to James Earl Jones' family. And again, he'll be there. He'll be part of culture for a long time. So,
yeah.
But I mean, that's the cool part. Another little cool piece of history, if we go back some years as well. On this day, 84 years ago, September 12, 1940, the NHL's Board of Governors decided to eliminate the rule that required all players only to wear numbers from 1 to 19.
That
1940, that was September 12th, 1940. So again, that rule opened up to, you know, some of the most iconic numbers of all time, 99, 66, 77, 91, 88, those kinds of numbers. Do you, again, throw this little bit of trivia out of you. Do you know what the last number in the NHL is that was worn? The last number that finally was taken by a player.
I think I know this one because I know that
I actually have a jersey with this guy on it for this very reason.
There's a 00.
So 00 was taken. John Davidson wore that.
Yeah.
Marty Biron wore that.
That's what I was thinking. Marty Biron wearing 00.
Kevin Weeks tried to, and they forced him to wear number 80.
Was it 69 was the last one?
No.
What was the last one? Was it 0?
No. 0 was Neil Sheehy. No, so that was not him. He wore 0 for a while with Hartford as number 0. In 2006, Montreal Canadiens forward Guillaume Latendresse came into preseason, had no shot of making the team, somehow convinced Guy Carboneau to keep him around, and he was assigned and took number 84.
84?
84 was the last number to have been worn in the NHL. In terms of the first time it was ever seen on the ice during a game.
Because, like, we're in the era, we've been in the era for a while where guys have been wearing their year of birth as their number. Like, that's why Crosby wears 87, McDavid 97.
Right.
So we have, like, all these high numbers. But I would have thought that somebody would have worn 84 for that reason earlier than that.
Yeah, 84. It's been worn since. Like, there's been a bunch of guys that have worn since. But Guillaume Latendresse was the first guy in the NHL to wear number 84. Uh-huh. And he did it in 2006. So, awesome. And I actually have that jersey at home. Because I was like, I got to get that. That's the coolest.
It's a little like piece of history.
Like, fact ever. Yeah. So, speaking of history, I don't know if team names are going to go down in history very well when it comes to the PWHL. You and I had this conversation prior to the show a little bit, and we were arguing about how they're just bad.
Yes.
Like, just bad all over the place.
I will die on the hill of Boston Fleet is a good name.
Okay, so we're going to start with the Boston Fleet, because we're going to discuss each of these. As you know, the Boston Fleet were named the Boston Fleet. The meaning behind this, according to the marketing executives and wizards at the PWHL, quote, The Boston Fleet pays homage to the unified spirit of our people, players, and fans who move together with speed, strength, and a relentless might to add new legacy to Boston's storied history of resilience, unquote. There is not a reference in there about a ship yet.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Like, I know looking at the design docs that they put out were like, you know, all the teams do that when they have new jerseys and new logos.
Sure, yeah.
It's all just like designer speak and whatever, and it's all kind of garbage.
This is your team name, though. You better justify this.
Like, they're, you know, you have... You know, the funny thing is, like, I was thinking, like, recent team names that we've got, like, Kraken was just like, the fans wanted it. Golden Knights, our owner wanted it because he went to, where he went to university.
Army Golden Knights, yeah.
The Cleveland Guardians, it's like a very specific reference to the city of Cleveland with the statues on the bridge.
Again, I can go into a whole bunch of them. Florida Panthers, obviously for the reason that Florida Panthers exist.
Yes.
Tampa Bay Lightning because it has the most lightning strikes out of any North American city in North America.
Winnipeg Jets because of our history with the aviation industry and the military bases here.
Correct. Edmonton Oilers because of the proximity to the oil fields. Like, that makes sense in terms of what's going on. Atlanta Flames, which became the Calgary Flames, was because of the Atlanta fire that happened down there.
Same reason as the Chicago fire of the MLS.
Right, exactly. So there are a ton of reasons why teams tie their name to their community. The Boston Fleet is legitimately just trying to hitch their wagon onto a moving truck.
Like, I will give them credit for that as far as I can, because at least it feels like they thought a little bit more about the Boston Fleet, and the logo looks like there was a little bit more effort put into it. It is just the Hartford Whalers logo turned to a V.
This is the Binghamton Whalers right
here. Yeah. But it does, out of all of the names, it at least feels like there was some thought behind it. It's a harbor city. A lot of shipping goes through Boston, you know, blue collar, like Massachusetts people work at harbors.
Sure, but Philadelphia and Baltimore have bigger shipping sort of track records than what Boston does in terms of them being a port of entry for a lot of products.
But it's still important to the city.
Oh, I'm not denying that.
Like, the harbor is important enough that it has a major role in the history of the United States.
But it was the history that legitimately, it was the people on land that made that history, not the people on the ocean that made the history. The thing that kills me, though, is that you've legitimately given a meaning of what your team means, and you haven't referenced the sea, the water, the boat, anything yet.
You're just giving us some, like, random consultant speak.
Right.
And, like why that's what the whole thing feels like.
Why couldn't the Boston logo be a warship then? And then you'd go, okay, yes. I get Boston. I get the destroyer. I get the Boston fleet.
We have precedent for this because there is a football team called the Fleet. I'm going to try and can't remember. I think it was the XFL or... the AAF.
But, like, that would make sense to me if we did it that way. And we're not doing that. We're legitimately just putting what looks like a modified fishing hook up as a B.
Yes. It's the San Diego Fleet from the short-lived AAF.
Okay.
And I can show you the logo.
American Association of Football, for those that don't.
Or the Alliance of American Football.
Or Alliance,
Football.
Whatever, yeah, whatever.
I can show you. It is literally just the front of a warship. Because the city of San Diego is...
But like the Norfolk Admirals. Yeah, like, that's fine. But, like, the Norfolk Admirals...
And it's Bruins colors.
Well, yeah, and that would be even better. But the Norfolk Admirals use the destroyer on the front of their... On their logo. And you kind of go, why is that so hard? Like, you're not really stealing the idea if somebody else is already using it. You're just kind of going, we can take it and make it better.
Or you kind of go the Milwaukee Admirals angle and you
the
you,
Sea Pirates.
The Sea Pirate or the Captain.
Like, I don't understand why we miss out on such easy tie-ins.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is better than Boston Wicked.
Well, it is, but...
Wicked Smat. So, I'm doing that.
So, let's move to the next one, because the Minnesota Frost is even... The meaning behind this one is even more painful. According to the meaning, quote, Minnesota Frost celebrates hockey's fierceness and beauty, a timeless Minnesota tradition bridging generations. Come November, this championship-winning team will once again take the ice, paying tribute to a people born with skates on our feet, unquote. How does Frost relate to any of that? It's frozen condensation.
Yeah, well, they picked a sort of trending. Well, it's AI generated, obviously. But it's so kind of bottom of the barrel idea. It's like Minnesota cold. Okay, they're going to be the Minnesota ice. No, we can't do that. The Minnesota chill. But no, we can't do that. Okay, Minnesota frost.
But we've looked at a number of ways. Again, Winnipeg freezes up here. We've had the Columbus chill. We've had we've had a number of teams that have come through.
Winnipeg/Kootenai ice.
Right. There are a lot of cold references that you can make, but why frost? Of all things, it lasts melts in the sun. It's gone by midday.
Yeah. And the thing for me, it's like you pick your color is purple on purple.
Well, yeah,
and you're doing it looks like a purple like popsicle for the logo. It's just an F made of ice, and it is so lazy. And this is an evergreen comment for all of the logos and all of the names. Just AI generated slop.
Oh, and
that's what it feels like.
But that's exactly what it is, though.
Yeah, they hired a consultant, paid them too much money. The consultant had a conversation with Billie Jean King and the board at the PWHL, plugged a bunch of ideas into ChatGPT, spat those out, and there you go.
If you want to go to the most ChatGPT one ever, the New York Sirens are next. We're going to look at. Listen to this meaning and legitimately catch the words that are being used here, because there's a lot that I'm going to go, you don't even know what that means. Okay, so here we go. Mm-hmm. Meaning, quote, inspired. This is New York Sirens, everybody. New York Sirens. Meaning, quote, inspired by the exhilarating blare of the goal siren. Again, they were the lowest scoring team in the PWHL this last year.
Which is funny.
Inspired by the exhilarating blare of the goal siren, the New York Sirens are an ode to the hustle, rhythm, and swagger of New York City. The goal siren is an urgent call to take the ice and triumph at the speed of sound and New York itself. The city you can't stop, but you can always hear coming, unquote.
When I hear sirens, I don't think hustle and bustle of a city.
Hold on. Does anybody know what an ode is? Because if a siren is the ode to the hustle, rhythm, and swagger of New York City, we got a lot of problems.
Yeah, you're basically saying there are constant. I mean, I've been to New York, and I know this is true. There are constantly sirens going off. That means like emergencies.
Yeah,
that means your first responders going to emergencies and crises. Like you've got police going to things, fire trucks going to things, ambulances.
Yeah,
like that's not what you want for your imagery. Like, take away the fact that the logo is brutal.
The city you can't stop, but you can always hear coming. Like, that is so...
There's so many other words you could pick for the noise and swagger of New York City that are not sirens, which are potentially the worst part of the noise of New York City. And also, you left on the table mythological sirens.
Again, that shocks me.
But that would have been so good.
At what point does a goal siren become an urgent call to take the ice? Most times players are leaving the ice after a goal is scored.
Yes.
I mean, unless they're getting scored on a lot, which happened last season. These names are so bad.
We are.
And then we'll just throw sirens on there in the CBC mode where we have the little sort of echoes of the and then cram the NY in behind it.
Yeah.
Like,
I do like the color scheme.
Again, the colors are the same colors they were last year, but
they've added like the yellow
little,
in there.
Yellow, but
I like that. Do not like the logo. Do not like the name. You could have done so much better.
Well, that's the thing, though. Every one of these could have been so much better. The Montreal Victoire.
Love the color scheme on this one.
I can see the pain in your face, though. Yes. Meaning, quote, whether we win or lose, victory is a state of mind, our primary motivation. Pretty sure that's the motivation for all teams,
yes,
but okay.
Yes.
The name Victoire will inspire us
not won anything yet.
The name Victoire will inspire us to reach new heights for the glory of the team, our sport, and for all of Montreal. By the way, when I clicked on to find this information, the page 404'd on me.
Nice. It's a great step.
First victory? No.
It's going to be so awkward for, you're essentially the Montreal Winners. If you haven't won anything yet,
but again, if you're the victory and you earn a victory, how do you earn yourself?
Yes. Also, it's going to be super awkward on the French broadcast when they say "Victoire pour la Victoire de Montréal."
Right. Exactly.
It's like victory for the victory of Montreal.
What? Like, if you don't know this is a hockey game, you're going, what? Is this person, like, confused? Or
are you having a moment there,
yeah,
sir?
Like, what's going on here? So,
like,
I mean, again, logo is workable. You can actually get away with this logo as being a good hockey logo. I have no problem with that. But again, the name is terrible. The name is brutal.
I can give some credit to, there are elements of the logo that, like, actually feel like they got a designer in there that knew what they were doing. Because there's, like, elements with, like, the M and the fleur-de-lis in there. They've got the V shape, obviously. It feels like that's logo feels like it's stained glass.
That's 5 minutes of talking to Daniel Sauvageau.
And, like, it feels like if you look at the logo, it kind of, and squint your eyes, it looks like an owl, like, with its wings unfurled. And the owl is the snowy owl is the provincial bird of Montreal or Quebec. You should have called yourself, you know, Darfang.
The Harfang, Harfang has been used a number of times, yes, for other teams, which would have been awesome.
Yes. Like the Harfang de Montréal. Like,
right.
The Montreal Owls.
The Montreal.
Unreal.
Like, I would take that in a heartbeat over Victoire.
Yes. At least that's tied to, like, your history.
And it's very French. Harfang,
yes,
is... you don't get owl out of Harfang. You get, oh my God, what is that?
That's a French team right
it's
there.
Like, it's like Carabin de Montréal.
Yeah.
Like, people don't know what a Carabin is in terms of what's going on.
But you're like, yeah, that's Montreal.
But that's very
French.
The way you hear it is very Francais. Like,
yeah.
Oh my... there's so much missed. Anyway, the Ottawa Charge.
I hate this one with every fiber of my being.
The one that looks like a paw, but isn't quite a paw, and it looks like the love child, as somebody said on Twitter, looks like the love child of the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Calgary Flames. The meaning. Here's the meaning. Are you ready for this?
God.
Quote, and this is the part that I struggle with. Inspired by the city's motto, Advance Ottawa en avant, Charge speaks to an electrifying force that pulses through Ottawa's rivers and streets, through the stands of the arena and on the ice, driving us all only in one direction, forever forward.
Nobody knows that that is the motto of the city of Ottawa.
I've never heard that before.
Also, Charge...
Tell me what moves fast in Ottawa. Anything?
Nothing. Literally nothing.
It's government.
Is, yes. Nothing moves fast in Ottawa. Traffic? No.
No, no. No.
People getting paid by the federal government?
And,
no.
And what exactly is electrifying the streets and rivers?
Ottawa is one of, like, the quietest, calmest, most scenic cities in the country. What are you talking about?
This is awful. This, like, is awful.
Like, you had such an opportunity, again, and, like, the whole thing with, like, the notch in the because they had the, obviously, they had the breakdown of the logo. It's like, the notch in this logo makes it a C, so it's Ottawa Charge. It's like, please just tell me that you got this generated by an AI and the AI did an AI thing and you tried to find meaning in it.
I'd get kids with crayons to do a better job than this.
It's a really weird looking logo. But, like, you also, like, could they not have done something with the idea that Ottawa is on the border with between Ontario and Quebec, and it's located in a place that blends French and English culture together, and you have Ottawa and Gatineau within spitting distance of one another, and, like, do something about, like, that.
No, that requires some sort of, like, knowledge and research.
Also, Ottawa as a city has some very important women's hockey history to it, and you couldn't.
Hold on. So the Alert, and I did some research on that because I was trying to think of why they wouldn't go with Alert or Alerts in terms of what's gone on. And again, I have no problem if they would have named that, because again, embracing the hockey history is what should have been done here.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, the team kind of just folded out of nowhere, and they don't know what. Nobody knows why.
Let's just bring them back.
But my question is, if the Senators did that in the NHL, why aren't you doing that in the PWHL?
Exactly. Also, it feels like with Charge, they're just trying to, like, sneakily move over to, like, what Alert feels like.
But, yeah, no, no.
And, like, it's what I said last week when we talked about the post that they made. It sounded like they were going towards the Ottawa Alert. And I was like, right. Oh, that makes sense. It's like the one name out of the batch that they trademarked that was actually kind of good.
Okay, so, again, I did some research and I wrote this on Hockey Blog in Canada as well. Ottawa's rail system started in 1815. By 1882, mm-hmm. there were connections that reached Montreal and beyond from Ottawa. Like, they basically mm-hmm. built this. Bringing the country together was something that Ottawa's rail system did, as it expanded quickly after Queen Victoria named the city as the capital of Canada.
Yep.
Like, basically, it was the hub. Mm-hmm. It was bigger than Toronto. It was bigger than Montreal. Ottawa was the place.
Yep. So, until Winnipeg came along, well, and we became the biggest city in Canada for a little while.
We jumped into the league.
Then the Panama Canal came along.
But there is actually the legend of an abandoned rail tunnel complete with a lost train in Le Breton Flats where they're trying to build that new arena. If you're going to align yourself with the Senators and maybe play in that arena, it'd be kind of cool to actually have a legend about that area.
Yes. Imagine. Just for a moment, they start playing in Le Breton Flats, and you have this legend of this ghost train.
Oh, my God.
And you're standing outside the arena, and you hear the whistle of a train.
Could you imagine your goal horn being a train horn? That would be so cool.
Because that's what it is in Winnipeg.
Oh, my God. But can you believe that?
That'd be so good.
There are so many things you could have tied into Ottawa so much better, and they didn't. But whatever.
Who cares? Charge.
Hey.
Which nobody in Ottawa has ever done.
The last team, Toronto Scepters, which I think is just the worst name of ever. Quote, here's the meaning. Quote, the scepter has forever been a symbol of strength and power found in courts and palaces held by queens and kings in ceremony. Today, it will be wielded on the ice by Toronto's hockey royalty. The scepters embody Toronto's regal history, commanding presence to the rich heritage from Queens Quay to Queen Street. Unquote.
So, it's very clear.
Do you want to know why this doesn't work for me? And I'll make this very clear to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a prop.
Yes, that's one thing I was going to say. A scepter is something that kings and queens hold for about 5 minutes, and then they put it down and never use it again.
Would the LA Kings be the LA Kings if they were called the LA Crowns?
No.
Well, okay, hold on. Would the London Knights be the London Knights if they were the London Broadswords?
Like
you can't say that the scepter is a meaning of symbol and power, mm-hmm. Of strength and power, when it legitimately doesn't matter. Kings don't need a scepter to rule. They just have it because it's a prop. It's an accessory.
I have a question, and I have a request for people listening. If you do have access to something, an AI like ChatGPT, see if you can get it to spit out, you know, hey, what would a team name for a women's hockey team in Toronto be called? And then when it spits out Toronto Queens because of Queen Street and the QEW and all of the other reasons that have been listed already, ask it, can you provide me a gender neutral alternative to the Toronto Queens? And it tells you Toronto Scepters.
I don't think you did the exact same amount of work as the consultant. But I don't think it would tell you scepters. It would be like the Toronto Reign or the Toronto Royalty or the Toronto...
Infinitely better ideas.
But that's the thing, though. Like, scepters had to be the worst idea I've seen.
And I mean, I mentioned it last week. It seems like they're probably going to go for something that's gender neutral instead of doing queens. But this is functionally worse.
How do the scepters embody Toronto's regal history when the queen made the other city in Ontario the capital of Canada?
Yes.
every major city in Canada. Every major city in Canada has a Victoria Street, has a Queen Elizabeth Way, has a one of those crazy, like, there's all sorts of legitimate reasons that this is not true that you can go, I don't get it. I don't understand it.
There are also two major Canadian cities named after queens.
Right.
Regina and Victoria.
But again, this is where you kind of go, somehow, some way, we've missed the point.
A professional team in Regina or Victoria going with that imagery would make infinitely more sense.
But again,
sense.
The Regina went with the Pats because of the Princess Pats. Like, the Regina makes sense. Again, that makes sense.
Princess Patricia.
And then the Victoria Royals was the other WHL team. I strictly think that this is the dumbest name out of all of them.
Yes,
and it's by a wide margin. Like, I hate the other ones. This one is all the worst.
Like, I hate it because very clearly they tried really hard.
No,
and they failed miserably.
But again, this one.
It is not easy. It is not easy to make a... You need to make a bunch of logical leaps to get to scepters as an idea versus, like, Minnesota Frost is just lazy. It's Minnesota, whatever. The What's loud about New York? Oh, sirens. Okay, New York sirens. We got goal horns. We got goal sirens. Go with sirens. How much conversation led you to pick, not only come up with the idea for Scepters, but to accept it as the idea?
But these are I don't want to say insulting, because that's not the right word, but it kind of is. Like, these diminish women's hockey so much because of how bad they are.
They're so and they're bland at worst.
Like I cannot... moving forward, everything is still going to be PWHL, whatever their city name is. I am not going to refer to them as the Scepters. I'm not going to refer to them as the Charge. Yeah. I'm not going to refer to... Because that doesn't mean anything.
Like, you want to galvanize the community around a team. You don't want to just like hope that they're like, oh well, you know, they're the closest team, so I'm going to be a fan of them. Like, that's not going to happen here in Winnipeg.
No,
like, we're not going to just be PWHL Minnesota fans or Minnesota Frost fans just because Minnesota's the closest city to us with a PWHL team.
Right.
We're going to wait for a PWHL team in Winnipeg, but two, that's such a dumb, lazy name. You have so many better options with the state of Minnesota, the state of hockey.
But that's the thing.
You couldn't look into hockey history in the state of hockey to come up with a better idea?
But again, why can't you tie this to the other teams that are in your area? Like, I get Toronto Marlies, Marlboros are an old team, but the Marlies have been brought back as a way to kick back to the history.
Yeah.
Maple Leafs have all the history there. St. Patrick's are in there as well. Toronto Arenas is an option for you right now, mm-hmm. and that could have done something. But again, that's a men's team. I understand that. But why can't you tie back to the other teams that are around there? Like the other mm-hmm. teams that have been through your area. There's lots of hockey history out there, lots of hockey websites, lots of hockey mm-hmm. hockey books out there that explain all about all these old teams. And we don't get anything like that.
That's what happened in the CWHL, right? With the Calgary Inferno.
Right.
Right? They weren't directly connected to the Calgary Flames, but they're like, okay, Flames, Inferno, we're going to get there.
Les Canadiens and Montreal, yes.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you can do that in the Boston Pride in the NWHL with the Boston Bruins. Like, you use similar imagery.
Right.
It was so important that you should have, the NHL told you, hey, don't rush to start this thing until you have identity sorted. And you had all this time.
Well, they ignored that, though, and went ahead and pushed
exactly.
forward. And then they proposed those six names, which got absolutely crushed online, the six first names, and then came back with six worse names than what they, I mean, maybe not all worse, but... In the same vein,
Fleet is much better than
in
Wicked.
The same vein, we're not talking about much higher. Well, yeah, but again, the Minnesota Superior versus the Minnesota Frost, which would you rather have?
Exactly.
Like
and it's like you're trying to make a brand that stands out and feels unique. That's the thing where, like, joke all you want, the Tahoe Night Monsters sticks out. It's like, this is a thing that somebody put a lot of thought into to come up with Night Monsters.
But it's like the
Savannah saying, Ghost Pirates.
The Ghost Pirates, like the in terms of the Ghost Pirates, they actually have a history about that, and that's a cool thing as well. Not a lot of people know that about Savannah, Georgia, and I get that, but you look at that logo and you go, okay, it's kind of fun, it's kind of whimsical. Like, you expect that from a minor league team.
Like Carolina Hurricanes. That's a cool name, and it ties into the state of North Carolina.
Right.
Like, you've got brands.
The history, and again, I'm not trying to rip anybody for this, and I hope everybody understands this, mm-hmm. but when everybody looks at team names in the NHL, the Anaheim Ducks, for example, mm-hmm. well, they're not the Ducks to start with. They were the Mighty Ducks because they're owned by Disney, which are based in California. The San Jose Sharks, because of the number of, at the time anyway, because of the shark attacks that occasionally happen on the West Coast. Vancouver Canucks got their name because of the Vancouver Canucks. They've been around for a long time in terms of what's gone on. Like, I get that. Flames, Oilers, we already talked about. Jets, we already talked about. Again, there are 100 teams we could go over. Colorado Avalanche are a pretty straightforward name in terms of what happens there with the mountains.
Yeah, Montreal Canadiens, the Habitants de Montréal. Like, it's just Habitants, like the people who live in Montreal.
But the Canadiens, though, in terms of how they got started, was an actual athletic club. Le Club Athletic de Canadien was the name of the actual club that the mm-hmm. hockey team played out of.
Ottawa Senators, for a very obvious reason.
But this is the thing, though. There are very clear ties to the communities that they're in. Phoenix Coyotes, for example, mm-hmm. made total sense, even though Arizona, you know, kind of blew that whole idea.
Yes.
Everything kind of...
Like, whatever Utah comes up with, like, Ryan Smith has been working on this for a while.
Right.
Solicited fan feedback to get, like, down to, like, this is just, and I've said this since we found out what these names are, this, the, all of the branding and all of the marketing, all of the imagery around this league feels like it was decided in a boardroom with a bunch of overpriced, overpaid consultants, you know, jabbering in Billie Jean King's ear about, like, all of these things and all these values and all this stuff.
I don't understand how you can have Jaina Hefford sitting there going, this is cool, I'm good with this.
Exactly.
For a woman who played hockey for as long as she did and for the team she played for, she should have a better sense of what's going on.
You named two major trophies in your league after board members and donors.
But this is the thing.
And you come out with these bland, boring, awful names for your inaugural franchises, which you hope are going to last for, you know, as long as the NHL franchises has been around. You're hoping that by, you know, 2065.
So you know what my
these are going to be massive brands.
I mean, we got to get it going. We only have about 18 minutes left here. But my hope is that somebody comes in now. And again, I know they're talking about expanding and, you know, looking forward and doing all that kind of stuff. But my hope is that somebody comes in now and starts buying these teams and renaming them.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's like I hope that when these teams are purchased, because eventually they're going to just be like, all right, this is our new brand, our new name, we're moving forward.
Right. Like we're moving off this garbage and we're going to get into something good.
When,
like,
Larry Tannenbaum is done with the Maple Leafs and leaves MLSE, and because I think he owns the WNBA team.
I believe so, yeah.
And he owns Coca-Cola Coliseum where they're playing.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if he buys the Toronto Scepters and says, all right, you are now the Toronto whatevers, because he's probably using Toronto Huskies for the women, the
right,
WNBA
team. Which would
team.
Make sense.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes total sense. So,
yes.
Yeah.
They were actually considering renaming the Toronto Raptors to the Toronto Huskies a few years ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, I hope that whoever, I'm assuming the Molson family is probably going to get involved with the Montreal Victory at some point and probably rename that team.
At some point, you'd hope they would, because it's terrible the way it is. So.
Yes.
Unfortunately, PWHL, epic fail on your team names and logos. You guys didn't do a very good job, and they won't be spoken about again.
The games themselves, the sport is great. The athletes are fantastic.
Absolutely.
Everything else is awful.
And it's, I struggle with that, because legitimately they were talking about doing this to make sure the players got what they needed, and they're getting everything they don't need right now, which is headaches. And again, they roll out, you know, Natalie Spooner on TV on breakfast television in Toronto for her to bring that in. Like, if I'm Natalie Spooner, I get that I have an obligation to try and support this league. But at the same time, though, I'm going, how do you expect me to sell Scepter?
Yeah.
I don't even have a scepter. Where do I get one of these from?
Yeah, exactly.
How do you make a mascot out of the Toronto Scepters?
Like,
oh, we'll have a king walking around holding the scepter. Yeah, or a queen, whatever. Like, that's it's a prop. It's an accessory. It's not a mascot.
Mm-hmm. It's just...
Anyway, I don't get it, but whatever. Anyway, some other news before we get going here. We got about 15 minutes remaining here, so let's rip through this quickly. Announced on Monday, former Maple Leaf, Ranger, North Star, Capital, and Coyotes forward Mike Gartner is set to succeed Lanny McDonald as the Hockey Hall of Fame's chairman of the board. McDonald announced on Monday as well that Gartner would take over when his 10-year term expires. I had no idea it was a 10-year chairman term. Like, that's a long time. But that expires in June of 2025. Gartner, it should be noted, was inducted for his playing career in 2001, and he has been on the selection committee for players since 2009, served as the head of it over the last 3 years. He has scored, again, if you're wondering what he did, 708 goals, 627 assists in 1,432 games. My hope is that Gartner guides the Hall of Fame in inducting more non-NHL people and women into the Hall of Fame, in that we need to see more Europeans, we need to see more amateurs get in there in terms of what they have, and some more women.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens that way. Pretty cool story out of the CBC's Paul Pometer, who filed it on Tuesday. You might remember us talking about a year ago about a young netminder in Antigonish, Nova Scotia. I think it was last year that we were talking about it. Anyway, who was setting all sorts of records playing against the boys in that province.
Yep.
Well, Raya Stewart is at it again as a 17-year-old signed with the West Kent Steamers in the Maritime Junior Hockey League, making her the second woman to suit up in that league.
Nice.
An official with the Maritime Junior Hockey League said that it's believed that goaltender Leah Harrit of the Dartmouth Oland Exports was the first female to play in that league. She did it back in 95-96.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we're talking like 30 years ago now. Stewart will only 10 goal for one season for the Steamers, though. She's already committed to play for the University of Wisconsin in 25-26.
Unreal.
So Wisconsin is going to get themselves an absolutely spectacular goaltender. Yeah. Head coach and general manager of the Steamers, Olivier Filion. Now, listen to this. He actually has experience with this. He was part of the QMJHL's Acadia Bathurst Titan when Charlene Labonte played net for them.
Nice.
So he knows exactly what's going on. He said, quote, I saw her play in a couple of tournaments last year, so I knew she was a really good goalie. So I was comfortable giving the opportunity to play for us. And our fans were really excited. And we can't wait to see her in net for a game. Filion said Stewart will begin the season as the team's backup goaltender, but should see at least 18 to 22 games of junior A hockey.
Nice. That's
pretty good. Before she heads to the U.S. ranks next year. If she does well, though, he said there's no reason not to believe that she won't get more games. Mm-hmm. She's already played in 3 preseason games this fall. It's unknown when she's going to make her debut, unfortunately, though, because she's currently with the QMJHL's Cape Breton Eagles right now in their training camp.
Yeah.
The Steamers do host the Truro Bearcats in their season opener on September 13th. It's expected that she should be back for the second mm-hmm. weekend of the season, though.
Awesome.
So kind of cool to see that. Good for her. A little craziness, Jason, you brought the story up to my attention, and I, mm-hmm. I'd seen it and kind of forgotten about it because I was like, oh, this is stupidity, but whatever. Mm-hmm. A little craziness out of the Champions Hockey League this week.
Yes.
On Tuesday, the CHL fined Polish hockey team Unia Oświęcim, there we go, Oświęcim, so Unia Oświęcim, mm-hmm. 2,000 euros.
Okay.
For a banner displayed by their fans at a home game against DEL powerhouse, German powerhouse, Eisbären Berlin, on September 7th.
The Berlin Ice Bears.
So the Berlin Ice Bears were playing Polish team Unia Oświęcim in a game played in Oświęcim.
Which,
for those that don't know, and maybe you don't know German, maybe you don't know Polish very well.
Yes.
If you translate Oświęcim, do you know what you get?
Auschwitz.
The sign referenced Germany's involvement in the Holocaust as the city is Auschwitz. The historical site of the concentration camp sits a mere 6 kilometers from the hockey rink where the two teams were playing.
Yeah.
The Polish team immediately apologized to Ice Berlin to the Berlin team, but the damage had been done. The weird part to me, though, is that this sign that they held up covered an entire section of seats.
There were dedicated people to making this rep. Like, and also,
it's like a giant flag.
Yeah, but also, like, they're not wrong.
No, but at the same time, though, how do you allow a giant flag into and as they're setting it up, people are going, like, you have nobody that goes, you know what, that might not be a good idea, guys.
No, because, you know, pain runs deep, man.
I guess. I mean, holy smokes.
I put this at the feet of the CHL, though.
Well, hold on. But again, every team gets to host a CHL game in order to generate that revenue.
But don't have a team from Berlin.
But that's how that's how it broke down, though. So for those that don't know, the reason they were fined is because of the political statement of the sign. Which apparently basically accused them of the worst crime in history.
Yeah. I mean, are they wrong?
I mean, the kids that are the guys that are playing on the ice today, yes, they're probably not involved. But at the same time, though, like, yeah, like, forgive, don't forget, right?
Yeah.
So anyway.
That is such a, like, that's a thing where I gotta ask the Champions Hockey League, like, how did you think this is a good idea?
But again, Unia...
I get it. It's almost 100 years since...
But Unia Oświęcim should have seen this coming, though, as well.
Yes.
Like, they should have known this was going to happen.
Yeah. It's European sports. It was going to happen.
So Oświęcim, anyway, owes 2,000 euros to the CHL now for their political statement, anyway.
Yeah.
IIHF Council submitted an application to the IIHF Semi-Annual Congress to vote on Kenya becoming an official member of the IIHF during their annual meeting, which is happening on September 26th and 27th in Rhodes, Greece, of all places.
Nice.
I don't know why the IIHF is meeting in Rhodes, Greece.
A nice vacation.
I guess so. If Kenya's accepted, they will become the 5th African member They'll join Algeria, Morocco, South Africa, and Tunisia. Mm-hmm. So kind of cool to see that.
I believe the Kenyan national team was in South Africa recently for a tournament slash friendship tournament.
I was going to say, there's a bunch of stuff on it. So in 2020, the IIHF visited the country, they had just one hockey team, the Kenya Ice Lions, which we mm-hmm. all probably know,
yep.
although you may not recognize them. They're the team that appeared in the Tim Hortons commercial with mm-hmm. Sidney Crosby. Yep. You might remember that, where they had all the guys and they were like, oh my God, like Sidney Crosby, like holy smokes. In 2005, the Solar Ice Rink opened in the Paneri Sky Center, a complex that also included a hotel and a mall. That rink is East and Central Africa's first ice rink, and the rectangular ice sheet is only 32 by 12 meters.
Okay.
The next full-size NHL-size rink is 3,000 kilometers away in South Africa and the United Arab Emirates, so mm-hmm. depending on which direction you go. The Ice Lions are the team that Sidney Crosby, again, met in the Tim Hortons commercial. Hockey's continued to grow in Kenya, though, since meeting him in 2019. They invited teams to play at the Madaraka Day Cup tournament, the first international ice hockey tournament hosted in Nairobi, Kenya. So awesome. That's kind of cool. Ice Lions' opponents in that tournament consisted of teams with expats working in embassies and NGOs in Nairobi. So lots of, there was like a Team Europe, Team Canada, Team USA. The Ice Lions were the best team there. They won mm-hmm. the tournament, but they said that everybody had a good time there. So yeah. They played a 3-on-3 with goalies in that tournament. So kind of cool to see that. So
that's awesome.
So they're trying to get in. They're trying to be a little bit more ice hockey-ish in that city, which is kind of mm-hmm. cool to see. Speaking of international hockey, Canadian has gone out and done something awesome again in the AIHL. As we know, we legitimately mm-hmm. were following the AIHL all year with the Melbourne Mustangs. We were hoping to see the Mustangs win again. They didn't. They kind of fell short. Another guy that fell short, though, in the for making the playoffs this year was a guy by the name of Ryland Toth. You might remember his name. Mm-hmm. He was UBC's stellar goaltender for the last few seasons in UBC. He was there for five seasons, but yeah. Had a couple of really good campaigns at the end. He was named goaltender of the year in the AIHL this year. Now, you might go, well, like, he obviously had a great season, right? Toth played 24 games for the Adelaide Adrenaline this season. He finished with a 6-12-5 record.
Okay.
He only won six games all season.
Mm-hmm.
And he was named goalie of the year.
But
292 goals against average and a 906 save percentage and two shutouts. This is a team, okay, I'm just going to say this as nice as I can. This is a team that finished the season 5-17-2-6. He was in net for six of their seven wins.
Yeah.
Which is pretty awesome. Again, not going to take anything wrong, take anything away from him. His goaltending partner, Mattis Trinka, 294 goals against average, 882 save percentage, was 0-3.
Mm-hmm.
This team did not score goals at all.
Yep.
So again, if you're wondering, the team never averaged more than 2.5 goals per game this season at any point past April 27th. They play till the end of August. That's not good.
No.
Just so you're aware as well, I can't even say this without laughing because it's hilarious. The Adrenaline never averaged less than 3.0 goals per game against from May 11th to the end of the season.
So
the fact that both goalies had sub 3.00 goals against average, goals against averages, says they were pretty darn good. It was the rest of the team that didn't really hang out. They had two guys that broke the 40-point barrier. The next highest guy had 19 points.
Oh, jeez. Just a struggle of a year.
So Ryland Toth earned that. He actually, to give you an idea of how well he was, legitimately, he was crazy. Third overall in the AIHL for goals against average. He actually finished ahead of 18-game winner Leo Bertin of the Perth Thunder and 11-game winner James Downey of the league-leading Sydney Bears
mm-hmm.
in goals against average. He was 0.11 goals against average behind 17-game winner, I can't even pronounce this guy's first name, Tatsunoshin Ishida.
Okay.
Tatsunoshin Ishida of the Melbourne Ice. He has 906 save percentage, put him fourth overall in the AIHL behind the men mentioned above. Logan Flodell, who played with the Mustangs, actually finished third.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of four goalies who played more than 22 games to finish with more a save percentage above 900, excuse me, and one of six goalies who finished the season with a save percentage above 900 total. So even the guys Crazy. Who played less, he was one of six to finish in that. Again, his team finished second last in points. But legitimately, Ryland Toth earned himself a trophy this year, and congratulations on him for another accolade. Mm-hmm. I still don't know, and again, you can call me crazy, I still don't know why he hasn't been signed here in North America.
Yeah. I mean, he's had
And he wears tastes. He wears blue and yellow pads from UBC awesome. All season long with the adrenaline.
I mean, he knows what equipment works for him.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I hope that he can get a shot here in North America, somewhere in the AHL, the ECHL. He's gotten sniffs before. I think he definitely deserves it.
I would love to see the Moose sign him.
Yeah.
Like, bring him in, and he may not play for Manitoba, he may end up playing for Norfolk, but still. I would love to see him playing in Manitoba at some point. Like, he's a fantastic goalie, but whatever. He was 11-5.
Yeah, we gotta bring back Eric Comrie for the 17,000th time.
He was 11-5-1 in 21-22 with the UBC Thunderbirds. He was he was named as the Canada West Goal of the Year and the U Sports Goaltender of the Year that year as well in 2021-2022. And he twice led the T-Birds to berths at the U Cup National Championship.
Yep.
So, fantastic goaltender. Again, he backed up both the Canucks. He was E-Bug for the Canucks and E-Bug for Abbotsford for mm-hmm. a couple games. So, He certainly, the guys there know him and certainly yeah. recognize that he's good, but for whatever reason didn't hold on to him. Just before we get out of here, we got about 4 or 5 minutes to go here. As we get set for university hockey again, a lot of teams already getting mm-hmm. together, playing preseason games, doing all sorts of stuff that way. There's a notable omission on one team's mm-hmm. page. And if you haven't looked, we're not gonna fault you for that. It's still early, it's still, you know, beginning of September. But if you happen to look at the Manitoba Bison women's hockey page this season, you'll notice that Jordy Zacharias is back as the interim head coach of the team. Mm-hmm. That sounds a little bit weird, a little bit off. It was expected that there would be a return of head coach John Rempel, and it looks like that's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I can't speak to it. I don't know what the situation is there. I haven't got any answers. I don't think we're going to get, at least I won't get any answers anytime mm-hmm. soon because Bison Sports doesn't really talk to me anymore. Might be the best thing to do is email a guy that can give you an answer. Bison Sports Information Coordinator, Sports Information Coordinator. Mike Still is the guy you want to look for. I have his email here, michael.still@umanitoba.ca. If you have questions about what's going on, why not? You're laughing, but.
I mean, it's fair.
Should that not be disseminated at some point?
I mean, it's publicly available if you want to get the information.
It's on the directory. I don't know what everybody's getting all angry about.
Yeah, I mean, it's up there now. We talk about it. So,
but he'd be the best guy to ask if you're interested what's going on. Again, I'll repeat that. It's michael.still@umanitoba.ca.
I'm wondering. I mean, who they're going to get behind the bench that has the Hockey Canada certification, because we know there's at least one coach involved with Bison's hockey that has that certification. However, he will be not in town when the women are playing because it's the coach for the men's hockey team.
I don't know. And again, I can't speak to this. I have no idea what the situation is in terms of what's going on. But I don't know if you can be in the process of getting it and still be allowed to coach.
Mm-hmm.
I would assume that Jordy's got some coaching credentials behind her name. She's done a lot of work in this province. Maggie Litchfield-Med is going to be on the bench as well. As Amanda Schubert will be back as well in terms of what's on that roster page. But I know that all three of those players have played high level. Obviously, all three mm-hmm. have played for the Bisons at some point. Let's just hope that
all three have coached for the Bisons before.
Yeah, let's just hope that all three, you know, are working together and have some sort of way of piecing together that required certification. But end of the day, there's been no explanation, nothing on the Bison website, nothing that can explain why this is going on. So we're kind of in a mm-hmm. in an impasse as to
who's going to be.
I mean, we know that Jordy's going to be leading the team, but we have no reason to believe that John shouldn't be back, would be back, can't be back. We don't know what the situation is.
I was expecting it, but
can't do much there. We can't give you an answer because mm-hmm. nobody really wants to talk to anybody around here, so that's okay. In saying that, though, we are pretty much out of time. Free Range Radio with Skippy coming up next. Stay tuned for that here on the show. Jake, anything you want to say before we get out of here?
Just, you know, have a good, I hope everyone had a good first week back at school the U of M, and I hope week two is as good for you as week one was. Probably a little bit busier. Stay on top of your homework and all of your readings. They build up very fast.
Don't get behind by any means. I do want to say, before we get out of here as well, if you are starting hockey, you are getting back into things as well, just be protective of yourself this year. I know there's a lot of new rules, a lot of new, people with requiring neck guards, requiring wrist guards, that kind of stuff, whatever. Make sure you're taking care of yourself this year, folks, because we don't want to read about any injuries that way. But in saying that, we're out of here for another week. We'll see you next week here on the Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM. Here is Teddy Swim's new tune as we take you out. Covering all genres of music, including Swedish remakes of Rapper's Delight, you're listening to CJUM FM 101.5 in Winnipeg. I am a friend, you're gonna try to move your feet. I am Wonder Mike, and I'd like to say hello.